Do you believe that? Yes. Yeah? I hope so. I hope so. Because there is. I'm gonna go ahead. My bad. We're almost ready for that. I do believe that there are greater things to come. My dream, my hope is that I look out amongst you that we just continue to build here in this church. And we continue to fill these seats. That's God's desire, because he desires that none would perish. None would perish. When I think about what he has given to us, we can easily look at salvation as, yes, I'm going to heaven, which, yes, we are. But greater is the fact that we get to live this kingdom life every single day, that his kingdom has come. His kingdom is here now. And he, with that, empowers us to live that kingdom life. And that he has given us life, not so that you can hang on to it, but you can give it away. And you can never give it away enough. The more you give, the more you get to give. It just is endless. And if we can understand that, it's a beautiful picture of what he has given to us. And so today, as we've been doing this weekend, we have had four different missionaries here, two couples and two individuals that have journeyed with us this weekend. And it has been great to hear from them, and we're going to hear more from them by asking questions. Now, this wasn't in the plan at all, but we're going to throw that out there. And we'll see if it'll actually come up after I say this. We're going to allow you to ask questions too. All right? So if you have questions that you want to ask, I'll pause at different times and see if there's any questions, and then we'll see if anybody wants to answer your question. So you get to ask a question, but they don't have to answer your question, all right? So there could be nobody that wants to take that on, and that's okay, all right? But I'm going to open that up. So please, come on up, the four that I'm going to have up here this morning with us. And fantastic. All right. So this one is on. I'm going to start here, and I'm going to go here. And you two get to share that mic, and you two get to share this mic, okay? So your job is you have to wrestle it away from him. You can do that. All right. So where I want to start is here, just to tell us who you are and what ministry you are part of and where you are working in that ministry, okay? So we're going to start over here with you.
I'm Cindy Geiger, and I work with a missions organization called Youth with a Mission, and I am in Vancouver.
All right, but you are also...
I'm also...
Around the world.
Oh, yes.
Because you do... What do you do with YWAM?
So, yeah, my main ministry is missionary care. So I care for the missionaries who are on the front lines. So I work with the local team in Vancouver, but I also work with our teams across Canada, and I do a bit of international training and connecting as well.
Super. Great. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Sandy Ewan, and I am with SIM, and I've been based in South Sudan, a place called Douro, and that's in East Africa. I'm a nurse, and so I've been working primarily in healthcare and in women's ministries.
I'm Mark and Karen Naylor. We are with Fellowship International, and we spent 14 years in Pakistan learning the language and culture. We came back 1999, Mark finished the Bible translation with his team and is mentoring four men over there. He knows them because of our time there, and he also trains missionaries, and I do the back-end admin support.
Wonderful. My name is Jordan Rendell, and I'm here with Marilyn, my wife, and Jolynn, our daughter. And we work with Youth for Christ all over the world. And part of that is Youth Compass, which is a ministry that works particularly with diaspora teenagers that live mobily around the world. So there's only 2 billion teenagers on planet Earth, so we have job security.
Fantastic. Cindy, we'll start with you again. The question I have is, how did God lead you into missions? You can add in there, were there any fears or hesitations that you had before going? And what confirmed for you that this was where God wanted you? A lot of questions in there.
How much time do I have?
Yeah. You've got a minute or so here. Okay. All right.
Okay, so when I was so I grew up in this church, and when I was a little girl, I went to a kids program called Awana.
There it is.
So in Awana, we memorize verses and we go through different worksheets, and there was this one that I did on Paul and Silas, and I had to read the story and answer these questions. And one of the questions was, if God called you to be a missionary, would you go? And I thought, well, the right answer is yes. So, and Mom was looking it over, and she's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I'd go. During that time as well, like I'm actually astounded that I get to share this stage with all of these missionaries that I grew up hearing your stories. Mark and Karen are my dad's cousins, and hearing their stories in Pakistan, and I was just so like, I want to go. I didn't love the idea of actually packing up everything and going to Pakistan, but I wanted to go and help Karen. I don't know why. I didn't know why I thought she needed help, but I wanted to help her. But as a little girl, I was quite the evangelist. I would tell all my friends about Jesus until I learned it wasn't cool. And then, yeah, there was years of different things that happened. And so I actually did walk away from the Lord for about 10 years. And God's call in my life, though, was faithful.
Okay. Would you recommend that?
What, walking away?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, all right.
That's one of the things, you know, as a kid, we hear all these stories and how God is faithful and he brings us back. But what people don't talk about is the cost of time that takes. Dan, do you have a question? He has.
He's redeemed that.
He has redeemed it, yeah. Because of who he is. He has redeemed. He has allowed me to use my story in my ministry. But the consequences and the pain still remain, right? So I would not recommend following that path, but God is faithful. Fast forward to when the Lord called me back to himself. He was saying in my heart, I'm not calling you to sit in a chair on Sundays. I'm calling you to be my disciple. And I was like, great. What? So that's when I actually ended up going to do my discipleship training school in YWAM. And through that time, God started giving me back the ministry of caring for people in the front lines. So did I have fears? Yes. Actually, when he was calling me into missions full time, we had quite a long conversation, and it was all about courage. Do you have the courage it's going to take? And I was like, no. He's like, that's okay, I got you. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm just really thrilled to be able to be on this stage with these guys who are just so much a big part of my childhood call into missions.
Yeah. Karen, well, do you want to add anything for you and Mark's journey into?
We met at Bible school and had a missions prof who was passionate about missions.
Yeah.
And he said the toughest part of the world, the part of the world where missionaries were unwilling to go was the Muslim world. And so we said, Kate, that's where we're going. And was I fearful? No. I was on a mission and I was going to change the world. I had no idea what it would cost, but no fear at the time.
All right. Yeah. And Pakistan is not an easy country
to
be in, especially for women, right?
That's why we left after 14 years, as I was not coping. But yeah. Again, God redeemed that. Mark is very talented at what he does, and he kept on doing it, and God healed my whatever it was, and we're still working. As Mark said, this is the most fruitful time of our ministry in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And we're not there.
Yeah. Sandy, did you want to answer the question at all?
I'm like Cindy in that I heard about missions through missionaries and hearing their stories. And I went to a church that was Blue Mountain Baptist in Coquitlam that... that was very missional, and they first mentored me, went to children's programs, girls' programs, and everything I learned I used overseas. And then I went to Prairie, and they're very, very missions minded. Yeah, and I went and I heard of what God is doing all over the world. And it was really, really exciting. And I thought, yes, Lord, it was reconfirming to me. Yes, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be on your team. I want to be with you. I want to be with your people who are serving. This sounds, it's wonderful. I had no idea that I was going to be, you know, serving the Lord in the moon, you know. But South Sudan is really very deserty and hot, 40 Celsius and stuff like that. But it was exciting to be a part of that.
Good. Jordan, do you want to add anything?
Sure. God talks to kids. I don't know if you knew that, but God talks to kids. When I was 8 years old, I was a little missionary kid living on a coffee farm / Bible school / ex-con center that my parents were running through Prison Fellowship in Medellin, Colombia. So it's a very interesting place to live. And at 8 years old, I was standing out on a moonlit night in a coffee field, and I actually said to God out loud verbally, which is also known as prayer, I said, God, why am I here? And the reason I was asking is I knew my cousins weren't here. I knew my cousins were in Canada. Like, why am I growing up in Colombia? And I literally heard God's voice. I still don't know whether it was here, but I heard God's voice say, because you're coming back. And I didn't really understand what that meant at the time, but I ran home to my parents and said, hey, I just talked to God. And they said, oh, cool. What did he say? My parents lived like that. And I said, because I'm coming back. And they said, well, it might mean that when you're a grown-up, you might end up coming back to Latin America. And that was the plan. So,
right. Fantastic. Anybody have any questions? Yes, Barry.
Absolutely. So Bevan Ray is still to this day my favorite teacher ever. Before there was Google, there was Bevan Ray. I'm not even kidding. I was a precocious little guy. I know none of you can believe that or imagine that, but I was super curious about everything. And Bevan Ray was my fifth, sixth, and seventh grade teacher. And whenever I had a question, he knew the answer, would help me find it. He was the teacher in a little missionary kid school in Medellin, Colombia. So, yeah, very, very, very close relationship with Bevan, and still to this day, one of my heroes, because he was teaching missionary kids, which I think is a pretty good investment.
Yeah, excellent. So I know that as you do missions, there is a definite faith part of what you do in country as well as just everyday. Is there going to be money in the bank account? Am I going to have the provisions to do this and that? So question I have is, where has there been one of the clearest ways that you've seen God provide? So how have you seen God provide for you over the years? And I'm just going to toss that out there so anybody that goes, something comes to mind, you can share it.
I thought of one, and I'm a person who likes organization and control, so I don't do that God provided the last minute prayer very well. So what I would say is where God has shown up is in the faithfulness of his people, month after month, after year after year, and they do it. Yeah. And that's where I've seen God show up.
Amen. Great. Anybody else? Jordan?
When we moved to Abu Dhabi, it was 50 degrees, and I have a Scandinavian wife who 50 degrees is kind of, she's allergic to it a little bit. And the outgoing director of Youth for Christ gave us an old Ford Explorer, and it was very kind of him, but the AC didn't really work. So we had fundraised like crazy to get over to the Middle East, and my wife just looked at me and said, this is not going to work. You know, the seals around the doors were rotting, and the AC was working. So now I'm scrambling. Now I'm in the faith mode. Okay, God, we've fundraised to get over here. We've tapped into everybody we know, and now we didn't expect we're going to have to fundraise for a car. So we start praying like crazy. And a friend of mine said, you need to subscribe to the Gulf News. It's a newspaper that's for the Middle East, and just so you can track what's going on in the world. I subscribed, and then the very next day, we're driving as a family in this old Ford Explorer, and I'm still praying lots, Lord, we need to replace this thing, and Marilyn's giving me this look like, what are we going to do? And my phone rings in the car, and I answered it, hands-free, and I said, and the guy says, are you Jordan Rendell? I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, who's this? And I put it on speakerphone, and my girls are in the back, and he says, I'm the senior marketing director for Gulf News. And so right away I said to my girls, like, you know, look this up. Is this a scam call or whatever? They start shouting and getting all excited in the back seat. I'm like, what is going on? And he says, I want to congratulate you. I said, for what? You've won. I've won what? An Audi A4. Now I did not know that I was in part of a draw because I'd subscribed to this newspaper. And the fun part of the story, and Mark, you're going to love this because you've known me a lot of years. When I moved to the Middle East, people told me, Jordan, you've got to stay low profile. Exactly. And I literally did not try. I did not know this was going to happen. But so on Christmas Eve, I was in an Audi dealership in Dubai receiving this Audi A4. And then they did a full-page article on our family. But listen to the title of the article. Canadian praise wins Audi. Now, that's the blessing of living in a Muslim country, because a Canadian newspaper would never say anything about prayer, because, you know, talking to our imaginary friend like that, right? But so then every Saturday in color for 3 months on the back of the national newspaper, a Middle Eastern newspaper, my picture, Canadian praise wins the first Audi, because there were three Audis up for raffle. And for the next 5 years, Muslims would come up to me and say, are you the guy that won the Audi? And by praying? And I would say, yes, would you like me to pray for you about anything?
Fantastic.
Just God showing off.
God showing off, yeah. I love that. This is a question that's going to lead into another question. And somebody can get a calculator out. I just want to know, I want to add up the years of missionary work you have been doing. So how many years have you been serving as a career missionary? Because we're all missionaries, right? Yeah, we're all missionaries. So are you ready to, who's going to add it up for me? All right, Michael, all right.
14.
14. 24.
24. 41.
41.
I don't know how to do that.
It's
like
60. 60, yeah, because you were, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So, 139. Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So here's my second question, goes along with that. I just wanted to know if I could ask this question. In the last 10 years, or thereabouts, we can do 14 years, where have you seen... Where have you seen God show up with the gospel? So we're talking about the working of Jesus Christ in people's lives. Where have you seen him show up in that?
The first story that comes to mind, actually, on Friday night, we graduated a discipleship training school. And one of the young men who shared... who just finished his DTS, and he was sharing his story, how he had come to Vancouver because even though he had been raised in a Christian home, he had never really given his life to Jesus, and he was making some really not wise choices. He was from Germany. His sister and brother had both come to know the Lord, and their lives had been... changed by Jesus, as one's is. But when he came to Vancouver, he said that his mom had said, you have to leave the country to go work on your character. So he was looking up and he saw snowboarding. He had no idea what a DTS was. He wasn't a Christian. And he thought he was coming to Vancouver to do a snowboarding vacation. We do an application process. We do. And the leader actually later on said, like, yeah, like, your application was the worst I'd ever seen, because he didn't know what to write. But through prayer, Emily felt that this young man was to be at our base. And he was just sharing how he was really, like, really surprised. He was like, wait a minute, we're going on an outreach to Japan? Okay, sure, I'll do that. But as he came, he is listening to people's testimonies, and he's like, these are beautiful stories. I don't have a story like that. I don't know what that means. And he had lots of questions. This young man, he asked all the questions. And he was rather cynical. He was rather skeptical of the whole thing. And he would say that, like, week after week, as he, like, asked all of our speakers, like, we had different speakers, which actually worked really well for him because he liked change. He said one night, maybe 6 weeks in, he was laying in his bed, and he was just like, similar to what Jordan was saying, well, I guess I'm talking to God, so I guess I believe in him. Okay. And as he was thinking about these questions, he said, the questions I had been answered, and the questions that I still had didn't matter anymore. And at this really quiet time, he is like, well, I guess I'm a Christian now. And as the time went on, and he would talk to his sister, she's like, I'm seeing Jesus in you. I'm seeing the transformation. And he's like, I can't see it. She's like, it's happening. And then he went to Japan with the team, and he was the most, because it was his, he was the most evangelistic of them all. The very last day, they had been praying for something to happen, just like, God, like, would you move? The very last day of outreach, he got to share the gospel with a Japanese young man and led him to Christ. And the guy was like, great, now what? And he's like, well, there's water. You want to get baptized? And so as he's sharing his story, I'm just like, this is the power of the gospel. This is the power of Jesus Christ bringing light to the darkness, and he's not done. And the ripple effect of that. I'm just excited to see what happens in this young man's life.
Good. Anyone else?
Yes, in South Sudan, I was working, running a clinic, health clinic. And so we were seeing lots of refugees from Sudan coming down. And we had this one man named Adam. And he was a Muslim, but and as well as a witch doctor. And his kids were always being sick. And his eldest son, who was probably about 10, was always sick. And so he was really discouraged, and he told his wife, I've tried everything. This kid is not getting better. He goes, I think I'm going to go to that Christian clinic here. And so she said, yeah, you go. Try and get some help. So he went. And while he was sitting there, he heard about Jesus, and it just really perked his interest. He went and saw one of our health workers. He got medicine for the boy. And then he went to our to see our chaplains. And the chaplain was probably from, I think Zachariah was from his tribe. And he said, well, why have you come? And he says, well, I'm really interested in this Jesus. And he goes, well, why have you come to the clinic? He says, well, my boy is always sick. And he says, I'm a witch doctor, and whatever I'm doing is not working. And and so he's like, well, do you want to hear more about Jesus? And so he heard the gospel, and he's like, yes, I want to follow Jesus. So Zachariah is like, okay, raise your hands. And so he says, renounce the devil. Okay, I renounce the devil. Okay, ask Jesus to come in and forgive your sins. and to rule your life. And so he did that. And then Zechariah looked over at the boy who was just sort of sitting watching his dad and said, what's your son wearing? And he goes, oh, he's wearing a charm. And he goes, well, what's in it? Well, Zechariah, of course, knew what was in it. But he says, oh, he says, I made it. It's got, you know, it's a leather pouch with, you know, sticks and all of this stuff in it. And he goes, well, what's it supposed to be for? And he goes, well, it's supposed to keep my son from getting sick. And he goes, well, has it worked? He goes, as a matter of fact, it hasn't. He goes, well, are you going to trust in this or are you going to trust in Jesus? Well, I'm going to trust in Jesus. Well, you should just take that off. He goes, I will. And so he took the charm off of his son and he said, but you know what? He says, I'm a witch doctor. I got tons more back home. And he said, so can you come back to my place and have a look at that? So then I got a call that said, hey, you know, Adam, the witch doctor, has just come to Christ. He wants us to go to his house, and so can you drive us? And I'm like, great, okay. So I like drove and picked them up at the clinic and drove them to the place and his place and went in. And he went into his grass house, and he took out all of these charms, all of these, you know, leather pouches and all this stuff, and he put it on the ground. And then he started taking off all of the charms off of all of his kids. His wife walked through the compound gate and saw what was happening, and she took hers off and put it on the ground. And it was just, and I said to Zechariah, I said, hey, you know, this is just the start of his life with Christ. He needs to be discipled. He goes, yeah, right, good idea. He says, Adam, look over your fence and see that grass house over there? That one in the middle? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, every Wednesday we come together and we pray and we read the Bible together. You go every Wednesday. And he goes, great, okay. So we took the charms, Zechariah took the charms back to the clinic and threw them in the incinerator. And that was, I looked at that small boy who was like probably about 4 or 5, and I thought, this is the beginning of the best day of your life. No more nightmares, no more evil presence, nothing. This is a new life for you, and you're starting it at such a young age. And this is happening more and more and more in our area. People who have been wandering literally in the desert and just hearing the gospel going, I have never heard of Jesus before. And then accepting Christ.
Wow.
And then going back on their camels or their donkeys, and they go back into the bush and they've got Jesus. So the Lord is building his church. So
Amen.
It's amazing.
That is great. Another question, and the question is, how have you seen technology benefit your ministry, your mission? You want to start?
Well, for us, it's Mark being able to mentor these men, but the basis of it is an existing relationship with the language and the relationship. So we couldn't just do it with technology, but it has allowed Mark to do that. He finished the Bible translation. Also, when a financial request comes in, Papu, some of you know, is reaching out to some Hindu leaders, and they've asked, and he's offering them the Bible. So Monday he sends me a request. Can you print these Bibles? Hey, Mark, is this verified? Yep, Mark says, go ahead and do it. I process it. Next day I send out the money, and he gets it. So that, through my bank, makes that all really easy.
Yeah.
Do you remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? The Ethiopian is in a chariot. So we see technology that way in Youth for Christ, that there's young people in their chariots reading scripture, reading about God, and getting on different websites, but they don't know what they're reading. And so the beauty of technology is it can connect us to those young people, and we can literally jump up in there with them and say, do you understand what you're reading? If they say no, then we have a journey with them. So it's connectivity on a large, large, large scale. It's just unbelievable. Millions and millions and millions of young people connecting online. And something we're promoting a lot is something as simple and profound as YouVersion. So the Bible app, and it's in languages all over the planet. I'm very competitive, so I particularly like it because you can do streaks and see how many days in a row you can get, and young people love it. And we just launched something with Youth Compass, which is a reading series about third culture kids of Scripture. So expat kids, so Moses and others, and it's already we just launched it last week. Yeah.
Yep. Question I have as well is, where do you, as you look at missions from when you started to where it is now, do you have hope of what is going to take place in the future? If so, why?
Well, I did think about this. Like, when we went out, we didn't know very much about anything. We just kind of tripped along and made a lot of mistakes. But there has been a lot of research done. There are academics and there are people who are investing in what strategies work, what strategies don't, and why. And so part of mission education is setting people on a path so we don't have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak, or make mistakes we used to make. So I like, that kind of training.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think, I'm as the newbie here, even 14 years ago to now, I think that there's tremendous hope. This new generation, is really they really desire to really know the real Jesus and to make him known, because it is good news. Mm. I think that, as Karen was saying, all of the research that's going into and that's available now for what this new generation brings to the table. Who is this new generation, and what does God have planned for them to use for building his kingdom? They're unstoppable, really. I mean, the enemy wants to stop them, and we see lots of challenges that this generation is coming into. When I say this generation, I mean Generation Alpha and Gen X. Nope.
Millennials.
Nope.
Zed.
Gen
Sorry,
Z. Thank you.
Oh, we got them all. Boomers.
Yeah,
boomers.
There we go. And each generation actually brings something. Sandy and I were talking about this earlier this morning, and how each generation actually has brings something that is unique to their own generation. But yeah, I think that there's tremendous hope, and there's such movements happening amongst the young people in Canada, in Europe, in Asia, that there is these groups of young people who are falling in love with Jesus and bringing their friends, and are they're unashamed, and they're going for it.
Yeah, great. Jordan, I'm gonna you go ahead.
I'm just gonna say that in East Africa, where I've been, it's the same. It's the same, and they've got the same mentality as our kids here. They're just, it blows my mind to see the similarities and the same drive and the same interest, and it's really great. It's really exciting.
I was just going to add to that real quickly, something on a macro scale that gives me hope is I'm going to use a very strong word, and I mean it clinically, is revival coming to a lot of churches and Christian organizations that had kind of lost their way. So I'm going to take a risk here in a Fellowship Baptist church and say there's echelons within the Catholic Church that are finding Jesus again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's echelons of the Coptic churches in Egypt, the Greek Orthodox, the Ukrainian Orthodox. And some of these churches are coming back to God. And I think that gives me great hope, because there's so much infrastructure around that. And there's priests, and there's training and seminaries. And if they can rediscover, I get goosebumps telling this story, because it helps with scope and scale of what God wants to do all over the world. It gets very exciting.
That is very exciting. All right, I'm booting you out, and I'm bringing your daughter in. Get out of here. Get the old guy out. There we are. Look at that. Now here's the youngest missionary that is here. You've been doing mission work for how long, Jolynn?
23 years.
23 years. You're 23 years old.
Yes.
Yes. You officially have been part of Youth for Christ for how
long? 2 years.
For 2 years. All right. So... Where I want to go next is to ask this question. When you think of young people wanting to or feeling like God is calling them into missions, what advice would you give them? All right. So it's out to everybody. You can start, or you can think a little bit more, and we'll give it to a veteran if you need it to.
I'll think a little bit
more. Okay, all right. Right.
I would say this kind of thing. Get to know missionaries, bring your questions, contact them and say, I have some questions about missionaries or missions, and I can guarantee you'll go to the top of their priority list. They'll want to talk to you.
Yeah. Oh, bring them. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think, you know, there's so many opportunities now of utilizing the things that God has placed within you, you know, your passions, your dreams, your desires. And there's so many opportunities to, you know, from photography to doctors to journalism, to really dig into what it is that you're passionate about, and being able to pursue what that looks like in a missional context. I would say courage. There's a lot of things happening that the enemy doesn't want young people specifically to give it all for the kingdom of God. So, I think being able to access that courage and know your why as you're going into missions, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that can come against us. And when we are solid in our why or in that calling that God has for us, it can really steady us through the storms. There's probably more that will come up, but off the top of my head.
One of the things that I say amen to everything that's been said, but also that if young people or anyone is wanting to go into missions, that they go with a very well-known, well-tried mission agency. There's a lot of what my mom would say, fly-by-nights. And the thing is that you go out there and you're left. You're a big, huge check mark. Okay, we got someone in, you know, Timbuktu, you know, and then they can tell their donors or their whatever, but they don't look after you. There's, you need to go with an organization, a mission that's going to support you in many ways that, and they don't forget you. They're following up on you, member care, you know, and a way of communication, you know, and all of these things. It's really wonderful to just, you know, jump out of a plane and just saying, yeah, I'm going to trust the Lord, you know. But you do need, God's given us a brain, and you do need a parachute, you know. And and the devil really is not happy when we go out we're going out into his backyard, and you're going to meet a lot of vicious dogs, and they bite. And the devil is really, and so you need prayer. You need a church that's going to commit to following up on you. Hey, where is Sandy? She's in Timbuktu. How are you doing? We're praying for you, whatnot. And to financially support you. And also that you really pray and know that this is where God wants you. You know, there's so much appeals, you know, seeing, you know, starving kids or, you know, whoever on their brochures or on the media. And it just tugs at our heartstrings. But you need to make sure that the Lord wants you there. It's really, really important. I've been out there, and I've been that check mark, and it's really, it's only by the grace of God.
Thank you.
So it's important that you know, that we do these things.
Thank you, Sandy. You know. Yeah.
I was going to say something pretty similar to just
know that you have a solid foundation to go off of, and so I have awesome parents, and I have some mentors as well, and just a solid community that you know are going to be praying for you and who can support you financially as well, which definitely helps when you're out across the world. And I was also going to say, just know that you are going to grow, and God's going to help you grow through all of that. And even through the hard things, we know that they're going to be turned into good, something good. And just to realize, I also like what you said, just realize that the gifts and the passions and desires that God has given you, he is going to use that, and he's going to give you even more throughout your life living and serving him.
Good. Any questions? So yes.
I'm just wondering what the next step is for each of our panel. What's going to happen right now after today?
After today, what are they?
Are they continuing here? Are they traveling?
Okay, so. So maybe along that lines, I'm going to add this to it. So what are you doing next? What's happening next? And then the other part I would say, you can answer that, and you could answer over the years or presently, where is it that you would say, hey, the support I've received from churches, individuals, is meant to me. So what have you received over the years from churches, or what could you receive from churches that really means a lot to you? So I think we'll finish up there. Where are you doing next? And then what is it that individuals or churches could do that you've received that is encouragement or could be an encouragement to you?
Everybody's looking at me. Okay, I'll go. So actually, immediately, the next thing for me this afternoon, I'm heading back to Vancouver and catching a midnight flight to Michigan. So I'll be working with a debrief ministry there, debriefing missionaries who are coming off of the field or are in transition. So it's a 2-week debrief time for families. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's immediate. And then I'm actually kind of coming into a bit of a transition season myself. The Lord has been working and speaking about, he's told me that the mission that I have gone to Vancouver to do is nearing completion, which is quite I'm like, wow, great, we did it. And so what I'll be doing is actually moving a little bit out of local, focusing 100% on the Vancouver piece and focusing and kind of pulling out and focusing on Member Care Canada and doing more international training and connecting with other missionaries globally. And so that's what I'll be doing. I will still be in Vancouver for now. What has the support of churches and individuals meant to me over the years? How do you put that into words? When we think support, we think finances. And don't get me wrong, I am so, so grateful for the continued financial support. I've had financial supporters who have been with me since day one of my DTS who are still supporting me. And, that faithfulness, it allows me to be able to plan my missions outreaches. It allows me to be able to plan putting gas in my car, which, by the way, gas is expensive, so God provides. But yeah, that faithfulness it really gives that a confidence of, I can keep doing this. God does provide. And there have been moments, I remember one time, one of the earlier questions were like, have you seen God show up financially? I had just finished booking a flight to Japan for a pastoral outreach. We had a DTS who was going through some hard things on outreach, and so I was heading out to go see them. I literally pressed pay. And I got a phone call from a supporter. Hey, we just cashed out some of our investments and we want to tithe to you this much amount. And I looked at my ticket and I'm like, almost to the penny. So you know those nudges from the Lord, and as he nudges you and you step out in faithfulness, it's like, God, you do see me. You do, like, when you call us to something, you are faithful to provide. You know, yeah. So, and he has told me that nothing as mundane as money, nothing as boring as money, is going to be the thing that keeps me from obeying him. So, and he has been faithful in that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Well, I have been on the mission field for about 24 years, and 17 of those have been in South Sudan, and I pulled out of South Sudan. It was just time, and seeing that the church, and there are other missionaries there, I wasn't alone, but the work is going on, and so the Lord just said, you need to step out. And I was getting worn out, the heat, the stress of war-torn countries and stuff like that. And so I have, I'm feeling that the Lord is telling me that I'm going to be retiring from SIM. Not, I will always be a member of SIM because it's a society. And I will still be in doing serving the Lord, but this is at the end of June of this year. I'm going to be retiring. I don't know what that looks like, and so I'm kind of feeling very lost. But I'm planning on going back to South Sudan in November. The rains have stopped. And so I'll go for about 2.5 months. And it's wonderful because I will have no responsibilities. And I will just be for them. Just for them. They've been asking for me. And so I'm going to go back. And I really want to stay connected with missions, whether that's encouraging and working with missions committees, or mentoring missionaries, or whatever the Lord would have me to do. And this is sort of my next step. My support has always been, my financial support has always been 3/4 of my support. And always the Lord has provided that other quarter. And so at the end of every year, I'm usually at about 102%. And it's just amazing because the Lord, is just providing. Mm-hmm. And I've used that as a testimony to the Sudanese. You need to trust the Lord, not me, not anyone. You can't leave it. You need to pray. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I've, the most of all, is that I've appreciated the prayers of you. This has, South Sudan is at, is at the end of the road, literally. Doro's at the end of the road. And there's just a path after that. But, and there's, snakes that are the size of this. There's scorpions. I think I don't like scorpions so much, I sat on one once, and so not fun. The heat and everyone's got PTSD. And the extreme poverty, and I tend to be, I'm a nurse, empathetic, and so I'm like, but as a nurse, you swallow it, and you keep the straight face, and it was just really hard to see certain things in the suffering of the people, it was very heartache. And the prayers of you have been have been wonderful. It's, the Lord has given me strength. And yeah, it's just, it's been a really godsend. You have, you know, when the little plane leaps, I mean, there's no way out. Yeah. So you're kind of stuck. And so you're like, wait a minute, you're going. You realize that you're at the end of the road. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd say being remembered when you're away for periods of time and your life goes on and we come back and you remember who we are. And you know some of the people that we are concerned about because you've been praying for them. So that's a big deal. For us, we're in our 60s, so what we're looking at now is passing the baton. And Mark is doing that by training young missionaries and by mentoring the guys in Pakistan who are carrying it on. So that's our next steps.
Thank you.
So my next steps, I recently got married like 2 weeks ago. So that's what my future is going to be like with him. my husband's actually currently in Austria, and he's working there as a whitewater rafting guide. And I'm here for just 5 more weeks until I get to be reunited with him. And I've been working with Youth for Christ for 2 years and Youth Compass, and I'm going to continue working with Youth for Christ and Youth Compass. I've had more of a local role in Victoria at the local high school there, Esquimalt High School, doing a breakfast program and youth group on Monday nights. And so that's also why I'm back here for the next 5 weeks, to just finish off the school year really well with the kids there and the kids that I'm mentoring. But then looking forward, I'm going to be with my husband wherever he's going to be. I'll be in Europe for the summer doing lots of youth camps with Youth for Christ, but also doing a lot of the digital media for Youth Compass. I'm running the Instagram and creating different presentations to be able to give as a resource to others, to families who are going through transition, for teenagers who are going through transition of just moving around a lot. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for this next season to finally be with my husband and to continue doing what I love with youth ministry and continuing doing mentorship relationships from afar. I'm so thankful for video calls for that reason. Churches, I definitely have a huge heart of gratitude for churches, especially being a missionary kid and knowing how many churches all across Canada, and especially you guys who have supported me my whole life, and even further than that, supported my parents their whole missionary life, and even my grandparents as well. And I'm just so, really, really, really thankful for all of your prayers and continuous support, and just, the impact that you've made on my life too.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. I know I kept you here way longer than you had anticipated, but it's worth it. We have donuts at the end. Here's how I want to end things is Jolene is going to sing a song for us and kind of sing us out that she has written this song. So she shared it with us last night, and some of you were here, some of you weren't. So we'll dismiss. And as she comes up, here's one takeaway that I have had from this is that, you listen here and you see great courage. And it's not just for the few that courage is given. God gives courage to us all. And the question is where does he want you to take the courage he has given you and to step into that? Because it's not just for a few, it's for us all. He didn't limit his courage. He has given us all courage. And so where is that you would step into that? Maybe it's a big transition that he's calling you to make. Maybe it's just going afar, as we were told last night by Candace, of your next-door neighbor over the fence. Much has been given. So let's use that for his glory.